sessions have been really good. Really grateful for the emphases. I wish I could just sit and not have to be a part of preparing. It's just been wonderful. So, does everybody have a handout? You should have got a stack of papers. And does anybody not get one? Okay, I wonder if I could ask Andrew Throfall if he'd be willing to open our session in prayer. Amen. I have to admit, I was very selfish when India closed to Andrew and Charlene Throfall, and I thought they would be perfect for BJMBC in the Philippines, and I was a little selfish, but I'm just so grateful the Lord has directed them to BJMBC ministry we have loved over the years. I'm going to have my wife come up here and join me for just the first few minutes. And we want to tell you a little bit about what we've done with goals and planning. And I don't know when this began, but suddenly we began getting emails from GFA every year that you need to put together some goals. And this is a required activity. And we want you to do this. And you need to have three goals for this and three goals for that and three goals for this. And you need to track this contact tracker sheet. Anybody? And those of you that are career missionaries, I think those of you in other categories, I think you escape this, I think. But those of you that are career missionaries, you're going to be getting this email here in, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks or so. And, you know, when we started, you know, getting those, there's a couple of responses you can have. You can be like, oh, wow, something else from the home office. You know, I've got something else I need to do. And you can just kind of blister through it. And, you know, probably you could probably do this in about 12 or 15 minutes and have an email done with varied goals, and then you zip it off by email, and you're done. And one of the things, and I don't know to what extent we did it right at the beginning, but we kind of thought, you know, actually, what if we were to really incorporate this into our, you know, actually implement this and make it real or make it important, and let's turn it into a couples activity where we do it together. And this led to what we call the gap retreat. And we've done a few couples seminars or retreats or weekends. And so I don't think anybody here has attended that, but you may have heard our little spiel on the gap retreat. And gap stands for goals and planning retreat. And we do this every year. We already did like a part A for this year. We actually did it before the new year started, which my wife has begged of me for years. And finally, it's beginning to happen. We're hoping for a part B in our gap retreat. But my wife doesn't really want to say very much. But I wanted to give a visual impression, at least, that if the Lord's given you a spouse, this is a great thing for a couple. And so I want to ask my wife, you know, what is it about the gap retreat that you enjoy so much?
So I feel like as a couple, especially if you have children or you have many and diverse ministries, it's easy to get into the feeling of like, as a wife, perhaps, you know, my kids, homeschooling, my family, my ministries, my goals, And then my husband has his extended family, his ministries, his goals, his work, his things. And so you've got this my and his thing going on instead of really pulling together and working as a team. And I feel like when I read the book of Genesis, I get the impression that I'm his helper and that anything I can do to help him in his work is actually God's priority for me. And so the two of us taking time to, like, you hear a session like Ms. Forrest McPhail's session yesterday, living intentionally. Every one of those questions requires hashing out in your mind and in your spouse's mind. How are we going to live this out with purpose and intentionality before God? So especially as missionaries, you have a lot of extra things on your plate. And it's too easy as a couple to be doing this, my versus him. Okay, we have a conflict. Now who's watching the kids or who's, you know, overseeing this? Because we can't both do it because we both have our various things. Instead, pulling together, working as a team, making sure that I'm supporting him in everything he's doing, that our ministry is our ministry together, even though there might be part A and part B. Those are still parts of a whole, not separate things. And that has been really helpful. If I know what his goals are and he knows what my goals are, we can work together to make both of those things happen. But if I have goals that I haven't shared with him or he has goals he hasn't shared with me, it's easy to be working against each other unintentionally, completely unintentionally and without knowledge. So one of the things that the Gap Retreat has helped us with has been this sense of teamwork and just working together, making our goals coalesce, making them be intentional, making our lives intentional, getting on the same page about everything in our life all at once at the beginning of the year as you're setting up your year. That has been so immensely valuable that if I wish somebody had told me this as a wife just starting out. I wish we had done this from day one of our marriage. I wish even as a single that I had taken the time to do this by myself and set aside time every year at the beginning of the year just to create my plans. And at the beginning, you know, you have questions like, is it going to be worth leaving our kids for 24 hours? Is it going to be worth paying for, you know, a hotel room or whatever? And I just remember years ago before I was married, I was working for a major corporation. Every year they had a business planning retreat. They spent so much money. It was Merck Pharmaceuticals. They spent so much money on that business planning retreat. They pulled in VPs from everywhere, people from all around the world, flew there to be a part of this business planning retreat. It was that important to them to set up their year for success. And the little bit that we spend of our time, our money, our finances, even just the conflict of finding a babysitter or whatever, is so immensely worth it throughout the year.
And one more question here. And so what are just a couple of the things, what do we do on these gap retreats?
So we have sort of blocks of things that we do on these gap retreats. And pretty much one of the, I'll just go through them quickly. In fact, I don't want to miss something, but we do a lot of calendar planning. When we first started doing this, we had a lot of little children and a lot of diverse calendar things going on. And just sitting down and taking, it took a couple hours to work out just the calendar for the whole year. Here are the ministry opportunities we have. Which ones should we accept? Where do we have time in our calendar for these things? He would get requests for, like, teaching for a week or, you know, speaking at a camp or other seminars, doing family retreats, whatever. All of those things have to fit in the calendar somewhere and still leave time for homeschooling your children. And that seemed to always be, you know, something that we had to work out. So working out the calendar on kind of that macro level, but then also on a micro level, what is our day going to look like? What will our week look like? If we're going to be able to, you know, start school with these other two missionary families by 8 o'clock, what does our morning need to look like in order to get to that point? I think a lot of times we as wives know of the phrase, everything has a place. So in home organization, everything has to have a place, right? But in your time, in your calendar, in your schedule, everything has to have a place or you will drop stuff. And with a lot of little children, I was dropping things. Things were kind of falling through the cracks of my schedule. But when we took the time to sit down and hammer out, like, what should a day look like in our lives in order for everything to get done before breakfast so we can start homeschool on time? And then everything to get done throughout the day so that we can have BJMBC Bible college in the afternoon or evening. and just hammer out that week, then everything rolls so much smoother. So calendar on a macro level, like 1 year, 5 year, 10 year furlough this year, and then on a micro level. And then we also do goals, and GFA gives you certain goal categories. We have some that differ slightly from that, but you know, you can work it out either way. And so just going through our personal goals and then our goals together. And we kind of have like three categories for that. So my goals, his goals, our team goals, and then we mesh those at the end. And then we also have talking about our priorities and our intentions, which actually comes before goals, because you make goals based off of your intentions or priorities. And so being intentional and just even talking through, like, what are the most important things that we get done this year? Okay, now why is that important? Challenge me on this. And talking through that with another person, hearing their pros and cons, is so intensely helpful. And then we always have prayer time for those things. Now, we tend to separate finances out of our other goals to a certain extent, just because we do a year-end review and then set up our budget for the next year. So it's kind of like a takes more time, but we do a finances block.
Yeah. So what we try to do, thank you. So what we, and I really wanted to kind of give the impression, if you know, if you have a spouse, this is a good thing to do together. It's a way to be together, intentional togetherness. And I think you know what it's like. You know, you can go through life and hardly ever talk to your spouse. You ever experience that? You just feel like, you know, we live in the same house and we, you know, everything's, but we never talk. You know, just not much time to really talk. And what we try to do is a minimum of 24 hours. If we can find help or a way, we'll try to make it like two nights, and that gives us a little more time. But again, a lot of it is talking about our goals or priorities, burdens, and then what to do about those burdens. She mentioned calendar can be a big thing for if you're in missions, you know, different events and you're traveling. You know, missions is about travel sometimes, you know. So you're, you know, calendar planning, finances, being on the same page in terms of finances and doing that year-end review and see how things are going. And I say this, and this relates to this session, because what this is an effort to do is to take the GFA goal strategy planning requirement for career missionaries and actually use this. And in order to make it profitable, you do have to review this sometimes and go back over it. You will find that in your marriage, one of you is better at this than the other one. Okay? For our marriage, it's my wife. Okay? She's the one that's really good at this. And she's a help to me on this. And you may find that's true for you, or, you know, the husband may be the one that's better. But probably you'll find that one of the other of you, you know, they just love this, and the other one just kind of comes along for the ride, you know, and learns and profits, and you can help each other that way. And again, if you're single, like my wife said, you know, in fact, she does some of this even on her own, but, you know, getting away on your own as well and just having time to think about the last year and then what does God have for you this year? One of the best things about a gap retreat is you can put it on your work fund report. And those of you that are career missionaries, this can be a tax deductible expense, right? I mean, GFA told me I had to come up with goals, and so I've got to get away and have a goal planning time. And boy, it just, you know, involves getting a hotel. Well, there's an expense. Hey, it's tax deductible. I can write it on my work fund report. And those of you career missionaries can appreciate that. So what would be some, you know, what do you do? What are some kinds of questions that you might ask? And I've given you just a stack. We've given you a stack of papers here. I'm going to go through some of this. But again, you can do highs and lows of the year, even if you're on your own. You know, what would be a high point? What would be a low point? You can ask some probing questions. What were my top three wins? This can be encouraging. You know, sometimes you get through an entire year. I've had this happen. You feel like I really didn't do anything. I mean, I didn't accomplish anything. And then you start reviewing, and you're like, okay, well, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're like, okay, you know, the Lord did do some things through me this past year. It can be encouraging. Notable events, key things I learned. What was my greatest faith decision? What was my most regretted sin? What were some losses that caused grief? What were my biggest joys? What relationships did I gain or deepen? What devotional method did I use? How faithful was I in my devotion? What was my biggest answer to prayer? Now, what are some prayers that weren't answered yet? What person or people did I reach for Christ? Which characteristic of God did I learn most and how? Which of my activities was the biggest waste of my God-given time? Which of my goals from last year did I complete? Which did I neglect? Why did I fail to complete goals? Were they irrelevant, too challenging, unrealistic? Honestly, in some ways, making goals for the entire year, all right, this is the GFA career missionary requirement. In some ways, a year-long goals are really almost too long for a number of goals. You may find that actually you need quarter, you know, maybe monthly goals or quarter goals, or maybe even work it on your calendar, depending on, you know, I was in a Bible college setting, and so a lot of my life was terms of semesters, you know, semester, semester, and summer, semester, semester, summer. And that's kind of how I thought about life. But you may find that some goals you make in January just go by the wayside because it just wasn't the Lord's direction for you. You may have thought things are going to go a certain way, and as the year unfolds, you're just like, okay, yeah, things just went a totally different direction. So you don't want to be, you know, it's not like you're a failure if there's a goal or two you did not complete. It may have been the Lord completely rearranged your entire year. And obviously we know some of these things, we're not in charge of our year, right? We can make plans, we can make goals, but the Lord is going to ultimately direct our steps. You can use answers to determine things like, what is there something you should start doing? Something you should stop doing? Something you should keep doing, something you should do less of or do more of. And this is just a way to try to start thinking really about your life and what you're doing with your life. Life is short. Your time is short. Your days are short. What am I doing with the life that God has entrusted to me? I'm going to go stand before my judge. We just heard about judge, right? I'm going to stand before my judge. I'm going to give an account for the life he's given me. What am I doing with it? Am I being intentional? As you think about goals, I'm on the bottom there, that first page, choosing your goals framework. Really, and my wife mentioned this, goals really grow out of your other things. Like there's something that precedes goals. And you can look at it in different ways. You can see at the bottom there, responsibilities, roles, and priorities. But really, it kind of comes out of those items. Like who am I? Some of you are students. Some of you are deputating missionaries. Some of you are church planning missionaries. We're in different stages of life. We have different roles, different responsibilities, different priorities. Your goals will grow out of kind of a combination of your responsibilities, your roles, and your priorities. What do you want to see God do this next year? Or you could ask us, what do I believe God wants me to do this next year? Based on that, what should be some goals that I'm going to make? And you have goals take on different types of goals, and we're gonna get there here in a minute. But let's talk a little bit about goals. Okay, what is a goal? And I think you've heard this idea of a SMART goal, right? And how many people heard this term, a SMART? Okay, this is not new with us at all, obviously. But I do think it's helpful because sometimes when you look at some of the things that maybe missionaries will send in and they're calling them a goal, they're not really a goal. They are a desire. They're a priority. And a SMART goal, as you can see here, is something that's specific. It's specific. Achievement status is binary. Okay, what does that mean? You either did it or you didn't. It's measurable. You can track progress. It's actionable. Okay, when you make a goal, use an action verb. It's realistic. To be something that, by the grace of God, you would be capable of accomplishing. And it's time-bound, where possible. It's time-bound, where you've got some kind of a deadline. One of the clues to know, is it a SMART goal? Don't use words like more or less. So, in this next year, I want to spend more time with my wife. That's not a goal. That's a desire. That's not a goal. I want to spend more time in devotions. Okay, it's a great desire. That's not a goal. A goal then takes that desire and puts hands and feet to it. I want to memorize more scripture this year. Okay, again, I want to spend less time on social media. It's just not actionable. It's not specific. It's not measurable. Let's take memorization. I want to memorize the book of Philippians in 52 days. Okay, Philippians has 104 verses. If you memorize 2 verses a day, you can memorize the book of Philippians in 52 days. So let's say you're assessing your last year, and you're like, boy, I just bombed scripture memory. Like, it was just a horrible year. So I want to memorize more scripture. Well, you've got to come up with a goal for that then. You can't be like, we all know how this works. Like, things don't happen unless you make them happen, right? I mean, kids, one of the responses children hate is, Daddy, can we do this? Yeah, maybe we can do that sometime. And that's like a parent's favorite way of basically saying, well, who knows? It might not. It's a good workaround to keep going and kind of just scrap that question for now, It just doesn't seem to happen. So you gotta be specific. So, okay, I need to memorize more scripture. All right. Well, is there a book I feel like the Lord wants me to memorize? Or is there a chapter? It doesn't have to be a book, obviously. Is there a topic? Is there a system? Is there something? Okay, Philippians. I just that book has been on my heart recently. The Lord's been speaking to me from that book. I think I need to memorize the book of Philippians. Okay, well, how can I turn that into a goal? That's a SMART goal. It's specific. It's measurable. Okay, it's actionable. It's realistic. I mean, it's not like I'm going to memorize the book of Ezekiel in 52 days. Okay, that'd be a little bit unrealistic, right? And it's time-bound. Why is that? Because what I'm thinking is, okay, this book has 104 verses, and I came across this way to memorize where you read it 10 times, and then you say it 10 times, and then with what you're memorizing for that day, and then you go the next day, the same thing, and you repeat, and then you add, and you repeat and add. And I think with that method, I could do 2 verses a day, and I think in 52 days, I could memorize the 104 verses in Philippians. Okay, and plus, you've got all these little verses in there that you already know, so I can kind of, I get a little pass on certain days. Philippians 2, 3, and 4, or 5 through 8. And, I've got all these places where it kind of helps me if I'm getting behind. Okay, that's a measurable, that is a SMART goal. I need to spend more time with my wife. Okay, I mean well. We do things sometimes, but, it's just not super regular. So I'm gonna, we're gonna set aside Friday. So this year, or it could be this quarter. I mean, it could depend on your schedule. So this quarter, we're gonna make Friday night is gonna be date night. Maybe it's Thursday night. It's gonna be date night, and we're just gonna set that, whenever possible. We're just gonna set that is gonna be. I'm just gonna put it in our calendar, put in our schedule. That's date night. Gonna just do something. It's just husband and wife time. So that's the idea of a smart goal. You're taking a desire and you're putting hands and feet to it. You're making it actionable. so that it actually happens. I want to learn more of the language this year. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? How are you going to measure that? Okay. What steps are you going to take for that to happen? You want it to happen. You mean for it to happen. You intend for it to happen. But to get there, you're probably going to need to set some goals that can help you. And there are different types of goals. And on the sheet here, you can see a list here of some six different kinds of goals. And you know, some of these bleed into each other. Okay, so this is not an inspired biblical session. All right, this is just practical. You can take it and you can leave it. You can rearrange it. You can modify it. There's no scripture at stake here. All right, in this. But one of the things that's helpful about thinking of goals as different is that realize when you, let's say, for example, when you're filling out your goals for GFA, you're filling out your goals, realize that not everything you write on that piece of paper takes the same amount of time. So for, you know, here's a goal for this, and you got three goals, you know, here's this priority, here's three goals, here's, you know, three goals. You know, some of those goals are super easy, and some are super hard. They're not all, they may take up the same space on the page, but they don't take up the same space in your life. And understanding that can help you. So like, for example, a task goal. Okay, this is often just, you know, this is a first step to a bigger goal, all right? Put people on the spot here. So Jonathan and Candace Waffer, right, heading to London. They're on the front end of, they've had, what, two deputation meetings? Okay, two deputation meetings. They're working. They got to get a prayer card and get all that. And okay, task one, contact Tim Peterson, have him take a prayer card photo. You know, this is a check. This is a task, a one-off task kind of a thing. And on your, you know, on your goals, you may have some things that are a task kind of goal. You just need to do it. I want to sign up for this list. Or I, you know, want my children to get the, you know, whatever. Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine. Okay, so I'm just going to sign up for a subscription to this. Or, you know, I, you know, get the whole Patch the Pirate digital download. We're going to, you know, so just, you just sign, you know, it's just a one-off kind of a task. Then you have habits or routines. This is maybe a habit or routine that you want to develop. This could be anything from brushing your teeth every day, which hopefully we're beyond that, to other kind. But this may help your children, right, to establish regular habits. And by the way, the last sheet here on your in this packet is a habit tracker sheet. Okay, and again, you can, you know, make up your own things. You can do your own things, but you know, there may be some habits that you want to develop. Some people in my family have done these no sugar months. Anybody ever done a no sugar month? I've never tried that. I don't really plan on trying that. But maybe I should try that. But a no sugar month, okay? Well, less sugar, right? Less. I'm going to go with less sugar. That's going to be my goal: is less sugar. For this month, starting tomorrow. And but you know, really, you're like, okay, you know, I'm going to, and this has 31 in like a month. Okay, so I'm going to, you know, February, that's a good short month to be no sugar, right? That's probably the perfect month to choose. You know, no sugar. And you can just, you know, track how many days this month do I do this. More little higher level here. What if you were to do a monthly tracker for, I want to do some kind of evangelistic activity every day. I want to give a tract or speak a word or do something evangelistically every day for this month. And you do a habit tracker. Maybe it could be related to your devotional life. Maybe, you know, hopefully you're at the point where you're reading, you know, you're meeting with God every day, right? Appreciate this emphasis, okay? But maybe there's something else you wanted to, you know, I want to read a spiritual book every day, or I want to try to pray for 30 minutes every day. I'm going to track every day where I spend 30 minutes. And you track this. Maybe it's exercise. So, okay, I'm going to try to exercise every day or whatever. You can, you know, again, you can develop your own system, but this is what a habit or routine. This is something that you believe that God wants you to put in your life. It's a habit or routine that you need to build into your life. And I think we all understand the importance of that. We've got examples here at the end of that number two. Complete my morning routine before breakfast every morning. Record expenses in Every Dollar app. Okay, before leaving the cash, we use the Every Dollar app. Okay, this is Dave Ramsey. Anybody uses Every Dollar? Yep, okay. Hey, at least one or two, okay. There's a free version and there's a paid version. We use the free version. But it helps us keep track of every dollar. So, you know, here's a habit. I want to record the expense before I leave the cash register. Like, I want to just develop this habitual routine habit. And then you can see things, a habit, a stack, or maybe it's a group of things. You know, make coffee, take vitamins. Again, different things. It just kind of gives you an idea. A system or process goal is going to be a goal. It's going to be a little more complicated. And the learning curve initially is going to be a little steep, but then once you learn it, it's going to end up being more of probably just a task. An example of this might be, again, you're at the start, you're building your first database, getting contacts for supporters and so on. You decide you're going to use MailChimp to be your email distribution platform. Well, you know, you never used MailChimp before. You never even heard of MailChimp before. Okay, well, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve to this. You're going to have to put it together to try to figure out how to use it. Once you get it down, it's relatively easy, right? She does it, I don't. So, but it's a task that you may have to, there's a little bit of a learning curve, but then once you get it, it becomes more of a task. Project goals. Again, this is something that might be a little bit bigger in terms of scope. You can see examples. Plant a church on the mission field. Write a dissertation. Start a Christian school. Maybe go on furlough. Again, these categories can bleed into each other, but the idea is, okay, say for example, let's take going on furlough. Okay, so, you know, we're going to go on furlough. Well, to make that happen successfully, there's a lot of little steps. There's a lot of little processes or tasks that need to take place. And so I can begin writing down some of these processes that need to go into, we're going to go on furlough. What is that? Well, that involves, you know, it can be your checklist. You know, checking with coworkers to make sure they're not going on furlough at the same time. It can be checking with GFA to make sure, okay, everything cleared for me to go on furlough. It can be, okay, I need to, this is going to be a little bigger than just a one-off task, but I need to start contacting supporting churches. Now, one of the things we often tried to do was I tried to start scheduling way in advance so that my meetings are grouped in certain areas. If you start scheduling, 2 weeks before furlough, you're going to be going from Maine to Iowa to Florida to Oregon, and you're just going to drive yourself crazy, literally, as you drive all over America. But start early. Okay, I've got this huge project in some ways of going on furlough. So there's all these tasks and processes that I need to accomplish so that I can make that goal happen. And so you begin thinking in advance, writing down the things that need to be done. This is something, last year, whenever it was, we put out this first GFA music team, right? How do you do this? What's involved? Jerry and Gina Brewer, huge help, okay? Process engineering mentality. We sat in the conference room at GFA. Okay, here's the goal is to put out a GFA mission team, a music team. Okay, to get to that goal, okay, what are some of the things that have to happen? What's the timeline for that? How would that work? Okay, huge help in working through that. So it's not like, yeah, we're going to send out a music team. Let's start tomorrow. You've got to have this ramp. And in some ways, the bigger the project, the bigger the ramp. In some ways, if it's something you've done before, you may not need quite, it doesn't take as much effort. You know, once you've been on furlough two or three times, you're like, okay, kind of got a feel for how this works. This has to happen, this has to happen, and so on. So, but it's just, it's good to keep all that in mind. An accomplished goal, in some ways, is looking to the end of that, of maybe a project. Like, so for example, maybe an accomplishment goal. You've got Andrew and Charlene Throwfall. They would like to finish, have accomplished raising their needed support for the Philippines by June. Okay, that's a very pretty specific, goal. All right. So that's what they want to accomplish or see the Lord accomplish. So what do you have to do in order to accomplish that goal? I think we put on here finish a PhD, graduate from a PhD program. All right, well, so that's your accomplishment goal. What do you have to do in order to get actually to that point? So it's just a way to try to think through what needs to happen. The last category is, in a sense, not something you can really choose. It may be more like a wish, I want to be an NBA player. I want to win the gold in the Olympics, in some category, So, well, that's not entirely your choice in a way. You're dependent on other people to decide whether you deserve a gold medal of any kind. But it could be a dream or a wish or something like that. And obviously, in all of this, we're looking for us. We're looking at what does God want me to accomplish? What are my God-given priorities? And GFA's goals do a good job, and on the sheets that you've been given, you've got like strategies and goals for different categories, and a lot of these basically mirror the GFA's categories of goals, or maybe some that are slightly different here. But this is, it's not formatted this way, but this is the kind of thing that you'll see. As you see, okay, like, for your spiritual life, give us three goals. And you can see, what would help me grow spiritually and glorify God? This could relate to devotions. This could be, again, maybe a book that you want to read. And again, I would just highly suggest, it's not like I want to read more good books this year. Well, again, that's a priority, that's a burden. What books do you think God wants you to read? Or maybe it's just maybe at this point it's a numbers where I want to read a good devotional or spiritual book. I want to read one book a month. And you may then need by month identify the book that you want to read for that month. But it's a measurable goal. It's something that you believe God wants you to attain. And you can see the different categories for children, for your marriage, for your health, for your finances, for your personal growth and education, evangelism, discipleship, training, church independence, specialized ministry. So, and you may have a different category where you would have some goals. You can see the number three. I think that's what's on the GFA sheets as well. I think it's good to keep the number of actual goals small. If you start having 12 goals for 10 categories, you're setting yourself up for failure and massive discouragement. So be realistic in these goals. Again, you may find that for some things, planning for a year is natural. For a lot of things, a year is almost too long. Because it's hard to know what's going to happen for a year. I think one year, I forget what it was, we were going on furlough or ending furlough, and so we did like a kind of like a 4 month. Let's do a 4 month. Here's what we think the next 4 months should look like, and then we're going to reassess at that point for the rest of the year. And GFA, we're flexible on this. It's not like You know, if you have, you know, two instead of three for one category, you're going to be, you know, whisked off the field immediately. We're trying to get you to think, really, of intentional ministry and intentional goals for your family, your children, your finances. Finances, okay? Like, example is what we would try to do is every furlough, the offerings we got from that furlough, we tried to set aside for our air expenses for the next furlough. I mean, you know furlough's coming. And you can either wait until 3 months before furlough and send out this urgent prayer letter, please pray for me, I need $10,000 because I'm going on furlough. And it's like, you know, you mean you didn't plan for that at all? Or you can say, okay, I know furlough's coming, what if I plan ahead? What if I say, okay, I know this is, so then I'm going to use, you know, from this furlough, we're going to put that, and we're going to set that aside, and that's for the next furlough, and so on. So you're planning ahead on this. Again, this, you know, we've enjoyed doing it as a couple. You know, I enjoy it. My wife loves it. You know, it's just a chance for her to, we just get on the same page about a lot of things, and we can share. We can share our deepest burdens. What do I want to see God do? What am I burdened about? Where do I want to grow? And in some ways, I did want to share one verse. And you've probably read, I'm sure you've read this verse, but it's out of Ecclesiastes. You don't need to turn there. But just listen to the verse. It's Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10. If the axe is dull, and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. Wisdom has the advantage of giving success. And in some ways, this kind of taking a day or whatever, a year, to assess, strategize, plan, pray, it's really a way of sharpening your axe, enabling you to get more accomplished, living more wisely in that coming year. All right, that's all really I had to share. Any thoughts or comments or questions or maybe input, something you've done that's been a help? Yeah. It really kind of varies for us from year to year. I probably starting personally is good, like personal goals for health or spiritual growth or personal growth, and then expanding from that. So kind of like personal and then family and ministry. So if you think of it as three categories with different subheads under it. So you're kind of starting at the closest circle, my relationship with God, and then kind of expanding from that. Yes? We haven't overly, have we?
Last year we did a sit down at the table, and I explained some of this to my kids, and we talked through it, how they could do it, and I did give them all a sheet of paper and said, write down a few goals for this year. And I just explained kind of my part and my process, and I think that helped them a lot, but we've never had a retreat with them where we involved them in our personal planning. But that was good for them,
That might be a good thing to do. Have you done something like that, or? Yeah, it's a good question. Yes.
I just wanted to say a word about this. So for a mom who's busy, and if this is like a completely new thought process, what's been helpful for me personally is audiobooks that talk about time management. And even from a secular perspective, this has helped my brain have categories even to know how to think through these things. And that may be
very good.
So I just wanted to mention that.
Is there a not to put you on the spot, is there a book that comes to your mind? You said this, even a secular book. Time management for mortals. Okay. This is good. Good. My wife loves the book Atomic Habits and some others. Yes. Oh, come on. Come on. That's very kind. Good. My wife would agree. She's read a number of time management books. Very helpful. In fact, upstairs we have what? Slow Productivity by Cal Newport. So. Okay. Well, let's pray. Father, help us. Our lives are short. And we're not even in charge of the short life we have. And we plan, and we know that you redirect those plans. We devise our way, you direct our steps. We would not want it any other way. But we would love to be your instruments and use wisely the one life we have. And we want to be good stewards of the roles and responsibilities that you've given us. And so help us, or help me, help us to grow in this, even in this year. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.